stopped. And he's looking at me like that. Now, he knows that I'm very sensitive and that, you know, I can tune in a lot to who people are and what they've lived. But this was a real shock to him. He went on and confirmed that he knows the parents very well. They're next door neighbors. They share the same twin houses, semi-detached houses, we call them in England. And he said, it's amazing. He said, when this couple, our best friends, conceived their child, they didn't want another child. They already had one. They had gone to a Christmas party. They came home in British English, absolutely blottoed, which translated in American would be
drunk as a skunk.
Drunk as a skunk, right? Thank you for the translation. And went ahead and conceived this child. And of course, when they found out that she was pregnant, they were horrified. They didn't want this child. They had concealed this information from everybody but my brother. And he said, how did you know? So I said, well, it's not often that people actually confirm it to me like that. I just feel. I said, this was written all over him. All over him. So we know that the state of consciousness during conception has a huge impact. There was a an American child psychiatrist many years ago who wrote a book. She was given the care of young children under the age of 10 who had committed very violent crimes. And this is here in this country, upstate New York. And the state didn't know what to do with these children. And so she said, look, I'll take them on. And she used to get down on her hands and knees and just play with these children. Play, if you see what I mean. pace them, be with them, use the same bad language as them. Just allow them to say anything so they felt safe with her. And twice, within a very short period, she said, she heard one boy say, well, in any case, I just didn't like the energy around my conception. And she's a child psychiatrist. And so she went even closer to this young boy and said, oh yeah? Well, what was it like? And he proceeded to tell her in detail what he lived during that conception. So she then started a lot of research, a lot of work into, she wrote a book called The Psalms of Children. What? Psalms, P-S-A-L-M-S. They're children's stories. Many of these children had never known one night of peaceful sleep in a secure home, and how this had impacted them from conception. So we have many, many, many stories of conception, of pregnancy. Just a little story about pregnancy in my own family. My brother was born with this passionate desire to save snakes. He used to walk down to the local market in Hong Kong, where we grew up, Chinese market, and with his pocket money, he would buy up the snakes in the cage that were due to be made into soup or eaten for the bile or whatever. He used to buy them up, bring them home, keep them in the basement, didn't tell my parents that he had them. And he was and he had to tell them one Christmas where he said, the snake has just got to come upstairs in front of the fire. Yes, it does get cold in Hong Kong. And so then he had to tell my mother that he had these snakes, that he absolutely loved them, and we just absolutely had to keep them. And this was a mystery for a long time, because my brother at the age of 14 went on to become an Asian snake specialist. He toilet trained a 6-foot python.
Oh my goodness.
And had people come in from all over to see how he was with these snakes. But where did he get this passion from? We couldn't understand it. My parents were, you know, not into this kind of thing at all. In Hong Kong, you know, the Chinese people have this huge fear of snakes, and of course they eat them. But why would he want to save them? And it wasn't until I was going into this subject to discover and see the correlation between what the mother lives during pregnancy and then later on in life, how the child develops, the child's interest, the child's nature, the child's character. It's not 100%, because it's obviously a little bit more complicated than that, but largely influenced by what the mother lives. And what happened to my mother when we started to say, but you know, what on earth did you live to have a son that was passionate about saving snakes? And she went back into her memory and she said, well, the only thing I can think of was she lived in Singapore and when she was pregnant with my brother. And when one afternoon she went to have a rest, she went into her bedroom, and just as she did, she saw the tail end of a snake that had untwined itself from near the bed and started to escape over the window out into their tropical yard. And she took fright, there was a snake, and screamed, and obviously was frightened. She was, you know, very pregnant, and called my father, who was a soldier. So he arrived, swung through the jungle, found the snake, killed the snake, basically in front of her, held it up, and suddenly she was thinking, oh my God, you know, I could have got into bed with the snake. I mean, they took it to the local museum to get it analyzed and were told that it was just a harmless grass snake. And she was taken with huge remorse. Why did this poor little grass snake, who hadn't done anything wrong to anybody, get killed just because of her fear? So there was this remorse of having wanting, in fact, to have saved that snake's life. That my brother's born with this passion to save all these snakes. So this is just one story. We know that many famous musicians, when asked where did they get their love for music, it was because their mother was playing. Yehudi Menuhin said this publicly in an interview many years ago before his death, that he got his love of music when his mother was playing while she was pregnant. So we know that what the mother lives, not only her activities, but how she feels deep down inside herself, her subconscious feelings are translated and passed on to the child. We know that the birth experience, it's not just, well, the baby's healthy, yanked out, you know, is breathing properly and it's got all its arms and legs and head in place. We know that that baby is living its own experience of what does it really feel like to come out into this world? Is somebody there for them? We know that when a baby is placed or even crawls, a newborn baby can crawl from the tummy, it's just left, up to the breast, that that moment of contact, eye to eye, at 12 inches, which just happens to be from the point of nursing to the mother's eye, the studies now have been done to show what happens when that first glance between a newborn baby and the mother is a cocktail of hormones that will never be repeated again. And this tells the child, and it turns on the systems in this body, the baby's body, that says, I exist as a separate being. I am loved. Somebody's there for me. I'm connected.